I want to speak this morning from a scripture found in Acts, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 27. It's a familiar passage, and when you see it, you will recognize it, I'm sure. Beginning in verse 26, and Luke says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went and beheld a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. While it was returning and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join yourself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him and read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures where he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, whom speaketh the prophet, that of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." We have a theme this year at Oceanside, and that theme is, We will go, I will go. When we first discussed that theme, the idea was that we will go, certainly emphasizing that the church at Oceanside will be involved in evangelism. Whether it be gospel meetings, vacation Bible school, any number of things. But we added to that theme a second verse. Not only will we go, I will go. There's a great danger today in the church, I believe, in that we take great comfort in being members of the Church of Christ. But the Church of Christ is made up of individuals. And when we stand before God in judgment, the call will not be, would Oceanside please come forward? The call will be for individual members to come forward. Therefore, it is crucial that we understand that I will go insinuates it is a personal responsibility that I have to go. As we go back to Acts the 8th chapter, it's interesting that the angel of the Lord says to Philip, Go join the chariot. You know, there was a movie back some years ago called Build the Field and They Will Come. We have adopted that, I think, sometimes in the church, and the idea that if you build a building, they will come. That's not necessarily true. That's certainly not what the Lord expects of us. The Lord expects of us the same thing that he did of Philip. when he said to Philip, go join yourself to the chariot. He didn't say, Philip, you just wait and he'll come and ask you something. You go and join yourself to this chariot. I think it's interesting as we continue in that passage and in those events that the question was asked, understandest thou what thou readest? And then the eunuch answered, how can I understand except some man guide me? There has to be understanding in conversion. Just the idea that I want to be baptized because my brother was baptized, or my friends were baptized, or my wife was baptized, or my father was baptized, that is not an accurate reason to be baptized. There must be understanding of the process of forgiveness from sin. We must understand what we're doing and why we are doing what we're doing. We must not just simply accept something as something that must be done, but we must understand why it must be done and how it must be done as our Lord has commanded. The scripture says that following that explanation, how can I understand unless someone guide me? There was an explanation. There has to be some explanation of what the Lord would require of each of us. In this particular case, Philip explained to the eunuch what was necessary and who the scripture was about. Very often we forget the idea that there has to be an explanation. We sometimes press people to be baptized and to become a member of the church, but with insufficient explanation. There has to be explaining as to what and why we must do. And I would add also that not only must there be explanation as to what one must do and why one must do it, but what follows after that obedience. The idea that simply being baptized will save you is not just enough. That's just the beginning. That's just the first step. There must be an explanation that there's more to follow than just the baptism. There must be faithful service to the Lord after that baptism. After the explanation, there should come obedience. It must come after the explanation, not before. Some people sometimes say, well, you know, you need to be baptized and you'll learn later on. No, that's not the way it works. It works explanation, and then comes obedience. Obedience comes following the understanding of what God would require. It also follows knowledge. One must understand not only what to do, but why I have to do this. If there's not that knowledge, if it's done in ignorance, it is of no value. So there must be knowledge that follows from the explanation of what the Lord would require. Another important point that we find out here from Philip and the eunuch is that there must be belief before baptism. I know that sometimes the church is accused of emphasizing baptism to the loss of all the other acts that precede that baptism. But there must be things that follow or come before the baptism, and one of those is belief. I think it's interesting that as the eunuch, as Philip had preached to the eunuch, he talked to him about Jesus and explained that particular scripture. It's interesting to me that the eunuch then said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, there are two things that we can learn from that. Number one, that when Philip preached Jesus, it obviously involved the subject of baptism. The eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" It's interesting to me that Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And so there are some things that precede baptism. We've already mentioned a couple of them. We mentioned understanding. We mentioned someone going and explaining and the knowledge that comes from that. But here Philip says that there must be belief first. If thou believest, thou mayest. And so then comes the great confession. That confession was that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now that confession is easily said, not necessarily easily understood. And again, as we said in the beginning, there must be understanding of what we're doing and why we're doing. That confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, carries with it a number of implications. It carries with it that Jesus is the only Son of God, that Jesus died for my sins and your sins. It carries with it the idea that Jesus was a product of a virgin birth, that Jesus is a Savior of all mankind. Just to be baptized without believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God is insufficient. And therefore, we must believe those factors prior to our baptism. I think it's interesting also, as we look at this particular passage, that both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And then they came up out of the water, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. There's an idea today that somehow the Spirit of God comes down and strikes my heart, and I have an emotional response that is followed by baptism. That is not the example that we see here in Acts 8. The example here is that there was baptism, the forgiveness of sins, and then came the rejoicing on the part of the recipient. Therefore, the emotional experience, the rejoicing, comes after baptism. We must believe in Jesus, that his blood cleanses us from our sins, in that baptism. We must be very careful today as we think about our obligations as Christians in this century. I will go carries with it a significant commitment. I will go. I will teach. I will bring understanding, and I will, on behalf of my Savior, teach those who need it. I wonder this morning if you're here, and you're here and you have believed, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you are ready to obey him in baptism. But more than that, to obey him in following in a faithful Christian life. We need very carefully to examine our own personal lives. I will go means you. It means me. It means the deacons. And it means the elders. All of us are involved in we will go. But all of us will stand one day in judgment and answer the question, did I go to all the world and preach the gospel? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we plead with you, don't delay it any longer. Don't delay obedience that will save your soul and guarantee you a home in heaven. If you're a Christian and maybe you have not fully recognized the I will go part of our theme this year, Won't you right now make a commitment that the remainder of this year I will go and I will do my part? There's so many ways that we try to put before the congregation to bring about this I will go. And I hope and pray that you will take it seriously and that you will commit to I will go. If you need to come this morning, won't you come now as together we stand and as we sing.
Come to Jesus.